His job is to navigate properly, not get us drowned. It wouldn't. A glint of light sparkled against the endless gray of the ocean. Hey, look! And there it was. A big, fat, beautiful KC-45, chock-full with fuel for them. Colonel Christopher punched the intercom. Lieutenant, you can stop sweating. We have the tanker in sight. Nice work. She could hear Sharman's relieved sigh even through her headphone. The Pentagon, Situation Room. We've got to warn the President in the strongest terms that he should not land in San Francisco. Zuri Coggins was surprised to hear herself speak those words, especially since her voice carried none of the doubt that she inwardly felt. General Higgins looked surprised, too. The Situation Room fell absolutely silent. Coggins could hear the soft murmur coming from the air conditioning vents up in the ceiling. After several heartbeats, General Shive said, I disagree. Those missiles can't reach San Francisco. They don't have the range or the accuracy. Coggins looked across the table at the general. Are you willing to bet the president's life on that? Yes, Shive snapped, without an instant's hesitation. I'm not, said Coggins. Clasping her hands together on the tabletop, she tried to be more reasonable. Look, General, the chances that they can hit San Francisco might be very small, but the consequences if they do will be extremely large. The prudent thing to do is to tell the president not to land there. Shive started to reply, but held himself in check. Clearly, he didn't like what she was recommending. General Higgins said, Miss Coggins makes a good point. Then he added, with a grin, If nothing else, we'll be covering our asses. A few chuckles rose from around the table. The president's not going to like this, Shive said. He'll think we're making him look like a coward. It's his decision to make, Higgins said firmly. We can't force the man to turn around. Turn tail, you mean, Shive muttered. Higgins shot him a disapproving look. All right, said Shive. If we're going to advise the president to stay clear of San Francisco, we should also send a fighter escort to cover Able 1 as it approaches Korean airspace. Fighter escort? Asked one of the civilians. That 747 would be a sitting duck for enemy interceptors, Shive said. We've got to protect it. General Higgins nodded. Send a recommendation to the Air Force Chief of Staff, with my approval. Yes, sir, Shive said, and he bent over his laptop. The National Security Advisor raised his hands prayerfully in front of his pursed lips as he stared at the smart screen on his office wall. Zuri Coggins looked so damn solemn, so convinced she was right. And that's the recommendation of the full emergency team? He asked, his voice silky smooth. It was a tone that had terrified Navy officers for many years. Here in the White House, the civilians had been slow to understand its depths, but they figured it out, after a few bloody examples. We didn't take a vote, said Coggins, but General Higgins agrees with me. You're not calling from your cell phone, are you? The security advisor asked. No, this is a secure video phone center in the Pentagon. Good. Will you make the recommendation to the president? She asked. He hesitated. The president won't like being told he should run away from San Francisco, he knew, especially if it turns out that the city isn't bombed. Maybe this is all some piece of North Korean gamesmanship to make the president look bad. He backs out of the San Francisco speech, and the North Koreans don't launch their missiles. Leaves egg on the president's face. The security advisor sighed heavily. Damned tricky business here. Damned tricky. On the other hand, if it's bombed with the man in it, then Parkinson becomes president, and who knows